Hello, everybody.
This is Steve Phelan, along with Kathy Reisner, reading the second hour of the Cincinnati Enquirer on this February 11th. And to begin with, we've got some birthdays for you. We'd like to wish a happy birthday to Bill out in Bridgetown, to Clifford in Mount Washington, to Helena in Hyde Park, Rochelle in Covington, and Vicky in Hamilton. Happy birthday, y'all. And now, of course, as usual, we'll start off with the television listings. If you're going to watch NBC on Channel 5 today, you're going to see the Today Show at 10 o'clock. That's going to be followed by Dr. Oz at 11, and then the news at noon. We've got Access Hollywood at 12:30 and Days of Our Lives at 1 o'clock. Then it's The Real at 2, Tamron Hall at 3, Ellen DeGeneres at 4, and a couple hours of news, 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock when Access Hollywood comes on. Then it's Extra at 7:30, Mr. Mayor at 8, Superstore at 8:30, Law and Order Special Victims Unit at 9, Dateline at 10, News at 11, and The Tonight Show at 11:30. Now, if you want to watch ABC on Channel 9, you're going to see Cincy Lifestyle at 10 o'clock, followed by Right This Minute at 10:30. It's The View at 11, an hour of news at 12, and then the third hour of Good Morning America at 1 o'clock. You've got General Hospital at 2, Kelly Clarkson at 3, and then 3.5 hours of news, 4 o'clock until 7:30 when The List comes on. It's Celebrity Wheel of Fortune at 8 o'clock, The Chase at 9, and then The Hustler at 10. You got a half an hour of news at 11 and Jimmy Kimmel at 11:30. On CBS, that's Channel 12, it's Let's Make a Deal at 10 and The Price is Right at 11. Then half an hour of news at noon. The Young and the Restless is on from 12:30 until 1:30 when The Bold and the Beautiful show up. Then it's The Talk at 2, Dr. Phil at 3, and 3 hours of news, 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock, followed by Inside Edition, and then Entertainment Tonight at 7:30. You could see Young Sheldon at 8, Be Positive at 8:30, Mom is on at 9, and The Unicorn at 9:30. It's Clarice at 10 o'clock, News at 11, and The Late Show at 11:30. If you want to watch Fox, you're going to look at Channel 19 for the news at 10 o'clock, and then Rachel Ray at 11. It's Drew Barrymore at 12, the game show 25 Words at 1, and then Daytime Jeopardy at 1:30. You get a couple hours of Judge Judy. She goes from 2 until 4. That's followed by 3 hours of news, 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock when Wheel of Fortune comes on, and that is followed by Nighttime Jeopardy at 7:30. Then it's Hell's Kitchen at 8. Call Me Cat, that's with a K, at 9. 2.5, or Last Man Standing, at 9:30. Fox News, well, that's on from 10 until 11:30 when the Goldbergs come on. If you want to watch the CW, that's got Andy Griffith on at 10 and then the Doctors at 11. It's TMZ Live at 12 o'clock, Couples Court at 1, Personal Injury Court at 2, Jerry Springer at 3, and then Paternity Court at 4. You got Blackish on at 5 and Two Broke Girls at 6, Modern Family at 7, Walker at 8, Legacies at 9, Jerry Seinfeld at 10, and Dateline at 11. On WKRP, it's The Bionic Woman at 10 o'clock on Channel 25, and then $6 Million Man at 11. 2 1-hour episodes of Emergency. They're on at 12 and 1. 2 1-hour episodes of Highway to Heaven on at 2 and 3. And then 3 1-hour episodes of Little House on the Prairie at 4, 5, and 6. Then we've got The Munsters at 7, Frasier at 8, Roseanne at 9 and 10, and The Nanny at 11. Now, if you're watching public television, what you're going to see is Daniel Tiger at 10 o'clock, followed by Eleanor Wondering Why. Then it's Sesame Street at 11, Pinkalicious at 11:30, something called Let's Learn at 12. Call the Midwife, 2 1-hour episodes at 1 and 2, and then Let's Learn is back on again at 3. It's Molly from Denali at 4, Xavier at 4:30, Odd Squad at 5, and Arthur at 5:30. You get the BBC World News at 6, and then a little more news with The Day at 6:30, followed by the PBS NewsHour at 7. Now, if you're watching WCET on Channel 48 in Cincinnati, you will then see Private Investigators at 8 o'clock, and then a 2-hour special on jazz from 9 until 11. 11 o'clock, Amanpour and Company, of course. But if you're watching WCVN on Channel 54 in Kentucky, you'll get the usuals. Antiques Roadshow at 8 o'clock, Doc Martin at 9, and Father Brown at 10. It's Update at 11 and the BBC World News at 11:30. And we'll finish it off with Star 64, which is going to be showing Divorce Court at 10 in the morning, followed by Judge Mathis at 11. You get the People's Court at 12, Jerry Springer intervenes at 1 o'clock, then we're back to the Hot Bench at 2, Maury Povich at 3, Steve Wilkos at 4, Judge Jerry at 5, and Family Feud at 6. It's the Big Bang Theory at 7, Dateline at 8, Law and Order, Criminal Intent at 9 o'clock, then Local News at 10, Daily Mail TV at 10:30, Mike and Molly at 11, and 2 1/2 Men at 11:30. Kathy.
The obituaries this morning, they begin with Alley, A-L-L-E-Y. Donald, Don Eugene Alley, was 83 from Milford, and the Tufts-Schildmeyer Family Funeral Homes will be handling those arrangements. Backscheider, B-A-C-K-S-C-H-E-I-D-E-R. Charles H. Backscheider was 87. No hometown given. Vitt Sturmer and Anderson handling. Brewster, B-R-E-W-S-T-E-R. Ellen Rachel Brewster was 48 years old, from Cincinnati. Hodap Funeral Home handling. Kramer, C-R-E-M-E-R. William Bill Kramer was 66 from Mount Arab. K-Hall Funeral Home in Mount Arab handling those arrangements. Dubs, D-U-B-B-S. Patrick R. Dubs was 71 from Green Township, and the Meyer Funeral Home and Crematory is handling. Dulmeier, D-U-H-L-M-E-I-E-R. William Dulmeier was 89 from Cincinnati, and the Newcomer Funeral Home, Northwest Chapel, handling. Fields, F-I-E-L-D-S. Ronald Fields was 82 from Bright. Jackman Hensley Funeral Home handling. Flick, F-L-I-C-K. Crystal Flick was 98 from Fort Wright, and the Linneman Funeral Homes handling. Gehring, G-O-E-R-I-N-G, John Gehring, was 87. There's no hometown or funeral home listed. Harrison, H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N, John J. Harrison, was 79 from Ludlow. The Ronald B. Jones Funeral Home is handling those arrangements. Jacobs, J-A-C-O-B-S, Lawrence Jacobs, was 96 from Union, Kentucky. Ferris J. Radel Funeral Home handling. Claire, K-L-A-R-E, Jane D. Claire, is 55 from Cincinnati, and the Gilligan Funeral Homes handling. Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R, Jeanette Kramer, was 93 from Cold Spring, and the Cooper Funeral Home is handling those arrangements. Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L, Thomas E. Marshall, was 74. No hometown given, but Floral Hills Funeral Homes handling. McCrate, M-C-C-R-A-T-E, Ralph McCrate, was 91 from Cincinnati, and the Spring Grove Funeral Homes handling. McIntosh, McIntosh. Priscilla McIntosh was 78 from Mount Arab, Cahal Funeral Home in Mount Arab, Handling. Mike Sell, Mikesell. Carol Mike Sell was 67 from Florence and the newcomer funeral home, Northern Kentucky Chapel, Handling. Moore, Moore, Geraldine C. Moore, was 90. No hometown given, Repepi Funeral Home, Handling. Morris, Morris, Thomas Morris, was 47 from Alexandria and the Alexandria Funeral Homes, Handling those arrangements. Parasutti, Perisutti, Opal Pauline Parasutti, was 96 from Milford, Evans Funeral Home in Milford, Handling. Perry, Perry, Gloria Perry, was 79 from Cleves and the Jackman Funeral Home, Jackman Hensley Funeral Home, Handling. Smith, S-M-I-T-H, Linda Mae Smith, was 70 from Loveland, Tufts Schildmeyer Family Funeral Homes, Handling. Swain, S-W-A-I-N-E, Robert L. Swain, Sr., was 97 from Loveland. Mr. Swain was an Army veteran from World War II. Tufts Schildmeyer Family Funeral Homes, Handling. Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, Ryan J. Thompson, was 39 from Cincinnati, Renfro Funeral Services, Handling. Wooten, W-O-O-T-E-N, Kathleen Wooten, was 63 from Cincinnati, Walker Funeral Homes, Handling. And Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, Eric Wright, was 62 from Batesville, and the Jackman Hensley Funeral Home is handling those arrangements.
Okay, we have got the horoscopes for you here, as we usually do, and we will start off with Aries, March 21st through April 19th. And it says, keep things brief, and they did. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. While action is favored, business ruins the mood. Gemini, May 21 through June 21. It's considered vulgar to discuss the financial end of beautiful experiences. Cancer, June 22 through July 22. There is no more favorable aim today than the aim to lighten up. Leo, July 23 through August 22. One benefit of living a principled life is that the rules can simplify your thought processes. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. Remote bits of personal history will pop to mind. Libra, September 23 through October 23. The line between audacity and bravery seems fine until you take the origin of action into account. Scorpio, October 24 through November 21. This day unspools like a good conversation. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. You'll fill holes of knowledge today. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. The reason that hard evidence carries more weight than personal testimony is the fallibility of human prejudice is high. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. The actuality of important rules is seldom as it seems. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. You're firing on all cylinders, and the realizations come one after another. And if you were born on today, February the 11th, this year sees you on a mission to serve. Scorpio adores you, and your lucky numbers are 3, 1, 30, 15, and 21. And some people who do share February 11th as a birthday include actor Conrad Janis from Mork and Mindy. He was the dad, if you remember. Well, he's 93 today. Singer Jimmy Carter, not the president, of the Blind Boys of Alabama is 89. Actor Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island is 83. Musician Sergio Mendez is 80. Actor Philip Anglim, A-N-G-L-I-M, from the Thornbirds is 69. Actor Catherine Hickland from One Life to Live is 65. Actor Carrie Lowell from Law and Order is 60. Singer Sheryl Crow, 59. Actor Jennifer Aniston, 52. Actor Damian Lewis from Billions is 50. Singer D'Angelo is 47. Actor Bryce Beckham, Mr. Belvedere, is 45. Vocalist Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park is 44. Singer-actor Brandy from Moesha is 42. Actor Matthew Lawrence from Boy Meets World is 41. Singer Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child is 40. Actor Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones is 39. Singer Aubrey O'Day is 37. Actor Korianka, that's Q-O-R-I-A-N-K-A, Kilcher of the New World is 31, and actor Taylor Lautner is 29.
Carolyn Hax's column this morning is titled, Working Parent Hates Engaging in Small Talk, and this is adapted from an online discussion. Dear Carolyn, I used to be fairly good at making small talk and had to do it often. Since being a working parent of young kids, though, I find I just absolutely cannot stand social events where I'm going to have to spend precious minutes asking questions of strangers about their work and what shows they're watching or whatever. I just feel the minutes ticking away and obsess over all the other stuff I'm falling behind on, and I can't bring myself to care at all what the other person is saying. Yet now that my kids are at an age of play dates and basketball games, I am in these small talky situations a lot, and I feel like I must be the most unpleasant partner ever for it. I do have friends, and I find that I would rather spend my limited free time having real conversations with them about our deeper feelings. Do you have any suggestions for making these encounters less brutal? They just feel like such a waste of everyone's time. Signed, Anonymous. Dear Anonymous, wait, no. No, they're not. Not unless you make them so by not caring. These small talks are the runways to the eventual real conversations about those deeper and more private feelings. Sometimes you just get there right away, but most of the time, you and other people need to break each other in and test for commonality. You know this, no doubt. What you're perhaps forgetting is that not everyone in these conversations with you is all set with actual friends. Some people are going to be new to the school or neighborhood. Some may have friends who had moved away. Some may have friends who don't have kids, so they're kind of in a different orbit and want friends in this orbit, so it isn't a lonely decade of pretending to be fascinated by elementary school basketball. And you can certainly argue that it's not your responsibility to solve other people's social problems, but think for a second how easily you could be in that spot yourself. Maybe you suddenly have to move. Maybe your kid transfers to a different school. Maybe two or three of your closest people gradually become unavailable to you. It happens. It's hard. Plus, too, you could outgrow your friends, or your kids could outgrow their friends. Plus, by essentially declaring that you quit, you've made all the friends you're going to make in this life. You're denying yourself whatever joys serendipity has to offer. So please think carefully before you demote small talky situations to a priority below your laundry piles. You can email Carolyn at tellme@washpost.com, follow her on Facebook at facebook.com/carolyn.hacks, or chat with her online at noon Eastern Time each Friday at washingtonpost.com.
And we've got some financial updates for you here. It wasn't much of a day yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial was up 62 points. That's a change of 0.2% and leaves us at 31,438. The S&P 500, the Standard & Poor's, was only down 1.35 points. That's a change of pretty much zero once you round it off. And they closed at 39.10. And the NASDAQ composite was down 35 points. It's about 0.3%, and that took us to 13,972. Now, the first article from the business section here, those working from home sue Cincinnati and Columbus. Lawsuits filed in Cincinnati and Columbus claim a pandemic-era Ohio law unfairly raised local taxes for two workers who already split their time between several municipalities. The municipal income tax lets Ohio cities tax residents and people who commute into their borders for work, the idea being that commuters use city services like police and roads. Traditionally, these commuters got refunds for days they worked from home or from another location, but a law passed in March eliminated that exemption, leaving Josh Shade, a financial services worker from Blue Ash, and Eric Dennison, an Ohio Health Department employee from Westerville, with bigger bills. Quote, "It seems particularly perverse that we are punishing Dennison," said Robert Ault, president of the conservative Buckeye Institute think tank. "Here you have an individual who is a frontline worker, who is keeping Ohio safe, and he's being taxed more during the pandemic than before." House Bill 197 allowed cities to collect commuter taxes as though people went into the office until 30 days after Governor Mike DeWine rescinds his state of emergency declaration. Cities begged for this change, saying public services would be gutted without these dollars. Quote, "I think most of the cities would have to declare bankruptcy right away, because there's just no path forward if this revenue would be taken away, and nothing would be put in place," said Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley during a call to reporters. But for folks like Shade, who worked from home about 50% of the time during the pandemic, that decision cost him hundreds of dollars. Cincinnati recently denied his 2020 refund request. Quote, "I think there are tons of people who fall into this category," Ault said. "I think this is what happens when you're painting with such a broad brush." His organization, which filed similar lawsuits with different plaintiffs this summer, claimed every defendant had their constitutional rights violated. Cities shouldn't be legally allowed to tax someone who doesn't live or work there, Ault said. If cities are allowed to tax beyond their borders, it creates a very bad precedent going forward. The new claim Shade and Dennis made was that HB, or House Bill 197, should only apply to people working remotely due to the pandemic. Dennison's job assigned him to a Groveport location in 2020, where he has been assisting in ODH's pandemic response and, most recently, COVID-19 vaccine delivery efforts, according to the lawsuit.
In People News, Spears focuses on being a, quote, normal person in wake of documentary. A revelatory new documentary highlights the circus that pop singer Britney Spears had to survive. Many on social media are rallying around the singer after watching Framing Britney Spears, now streaming on Hulu, from FX and the New York Times. The project examines the rise of Spears, 39, her mental health challenges, inappropriate treatment by unrelenting media, and the discord over her conservatorship, controlled largely by her father, Jamie. Spears shared on Twitter and Instagram Tuesday that she's focused on being, quote, a normal person. "I'll always love being on stage," Spears captioned a throwback video of herself performing Toxic 3 years ago. "But I am taking the time to learn and be a normal person. I love simply enjoying the basics of everyday life." On Tuesday, Spears' boyfriend, Sam Asghari, 27, joined those speaking out about the treatment of Spears on social media, specifically calling out the pop icon's father on his Instagram story. Next, Trebek's family, Jeopardy, donate late game show host clothing. Alex Trebek's impeccable fashion will continue to live on. At the suggestion of Trebek's son, Matthew Trebek, his family and Jeopardy are donating much of the late game show host's wardrobe to the Doe Fund, a nonprofit organization working to break the cycle of incarceration, homelessness, and addiction by providing additional vocational training, employment, and more. And finally, Wonder Woman star showcases women of wonder in the documentary. Like her Wonder Woman character, Gal Gadot is on a mission. The 35-year-old Israeli actor's latest project has her working behind the scenes as an executive producer of Impact, a short-form documentary series that debuts April 19th on the National Geographic Channel. The 6-part series follows women in Brazil, California, Michigan, and Puerto Rico, among other places, who overcome obstacles and do extraordinary things. The women live in communities affected by violence, poverty, discrimination, and oppression.
And here's another article from the business section. Aunt Jemima name or brand receives new name, Pearl Milling. Aunt Jemima's getting a new name. Quaker Oats is rebranding the venerable pancake brand as Pearl Milling Company. The PepsiCo brand announced the new name and logo Tuesday, nearly 8 months after the company said it would retire Aunt Jemima from packaging on its brand of syrup and pancake mixes because it was, quote, based on a racial stereotype. In June of 2020, the breakfast brand announced plans to overhaul product packaging and change the name in the wake of renewed calls for racial equality. The Pearl Milling Company branded pancake mixes, syrups, cornmeal, flour, and grits products are expected to start arriving in stores in June of 2021. Products will continue to be sold under the Aunt Jemima name without the character image until June, Pepsi said in a news release. The move, considered long overdue by experts, historians, and some consumers, was the first in a series of rebranding announcements that grew to include Uncle Ben's, Mrs. Butterworth's, Cream of Wheat, and Eskimo Pie. The first Aunt Jemima image was based on Kentucky native Nancy Green, a Civil War-era slave from Mount Sterling. Originally, Aunt Jemima was shown with a wide smile and wearing a bandana in her hair, an image many accused was encouraging racial stereotypes. Quaker Oats bought the Aunt Jemima brand in 1925, and in 1989, the image was revamped, with the new model wearing pearl earrings with straightened curls.
From the hometown section, Eastern Hills Exchange Club presents a check to COCA to help prevent child abuse. The Eastern Hills Exchange Club presented a check for $1,000 to the Cincinnati Council on Child Abuse Prevention at their November meeting. This was one of several checks for $1,000 given this year to the following organizations: Interparish Ministries, M.E. Lyons YMCA, The Literacy Network, CASA for Claremont Kids, Anderson Foundation for Parks and Recreation, Jack's Closet, Pray, Hope, Believe Foundation, Pro Kids, Nest Learning Center, La Soupe, and Beach Acres Parenting Center. The funds were raised at the club's 13th annual golf outing held at the Vineyard Golf Course in October. Although the COVID-19 pandemic eliminated a shotgun start and canceled the awards ceremony, 128 golfers participated at designated tee times. A silent raffle and bid and buy were held, and winners were able to pick up their prizes at the end of their rounds. Over the past years, this event has raised over $75,000 to help organizations like these in the greater Cincinnati area. Our next outing is scheduled for Friday, October 1st, 2021. The Eastern Hills Exchange Club is part of the National Community Service Organization, making communities better places to live through projects focusing on Americanism, youth Americanism, youth, community service, and our national project of child abuse prevention. Our membership is open to all those who share the same passion. For information about membership, contact Shai Bulger at charles.bulger@marcusmillichap.com. And this was submitted by Jerry Kersner of the Eastern Hills Exchange Club.
Here's another one from the hometown section. Mount Healthy High School inducts two past players into Athletic Hall of Fame and a couple into the Honorary Hall of Fame. Mount Healthy High School Athletics has a long history of sport in addition to inducting our outstanding athletes into the Hall of Fame. While this year has been quite different, the program will be inducting two new members into the Hall of Fame in addition to a special recognition. The first inductee is Joseph or Joey Tensing from the class of 2006. He was a standout soccer player for 4 years and a basketball player for 3 years. During his soccer career here at Mount Healthy, the varsity starter made first team all-conference 3 times, most valuable offensive player 3 times, all-city honors 2x, and was named to the Southwest Ohio All-Star team. During his freshman year, he scored 5 goals and had 5 assists. However, his sophomore year is where he really shined, scoring 21 goals and 12 assists for the team. His junior year, he continued with 19 goals and 14 assists, and his last year as an Owl, he recorded 21 goals and 9 assists as he led the Owls to their first league championship in years. Tensing ended his career as the second all-time leading goal scorer, assist maker, and point scorer for the Owls. In addition to being a standout soccer player, he was a 3-year varsity basketball starter and earned scholar athlete honors all 4 years for soccer and basketball. Tensing earned an athletic and academic scholarship to Urbana University, earning his place on the American Midwest Conference All-League team with 3 goals and 3 assists. Tensing transferred to Thomas More College, where he was named Offensive Player of the Week and was selected to the President's Athletic Conference All-League team for 2 years. He also helped lead his team to a 17-3-1 record and a berth in the NCAA tournament. We proudly welcome Joey Tensing into the Mount Healthy Athletics Hall of Fame. Brent Gray from Mount Healthy High School class of 2011 is the second inductee. He was an outstanding 2-sport athlete in football and track. During his athletic career here at Mount Healthy, he earned all-league honors in track for 4 years. He earned all-district honors 3 years, all-region honors 3 years, and all-state track for 1 year. He was named the FAVC, or the Fort Ancient Valley, Runner of the Year 2x. He holds school records in the 400-meter dash and as a member of the 4x400 relay and the 4x200 relay teams who made it to the state finals in his senior year. In 2011, Gray was the top 400-meter runner in the city. At the time of his graduation, he was in the top 5 in the greater Cincinnati region for all-time runners in the 400-meter dash. He was the only Mount Healthy CSD made in school history to place top 2 in the state in an individual sprinting event. Gray was also selected to the Midwest Meet of Champions, where the top runners in Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania compete. After graduating from Mount Healthy High School, Gray earned a scholarship to the University of Akron, where he was a 2-time MAC conference champion, breaking Akron records in the 400-meter dash and as a member of the 4x400 relay team. He was the 400-meter indoor MAC champion in 2015 and the 400-meter outdoor MAC champion in 2016. Gray holds the records in the 4x400, both indoor and outdoor, at the University of Akron, in addition to the indoor Mid-American record in the 4x400, which took him to top 15 runners in the country at the time. In addition to his success in track, Gray was a standout football player who was named All-League, or received All-League honors 2x. He currently holds the record with Mount Healthy Athletics for touchdown receptions and in a season and in a career. We are proud to welcome Ernst Gray, I'm sorry, I can't read this, Brent Gray, into the Mount Healthy Athletics Hall of Fame. In 2020, the Hall of Fame committee saw fit to recognize people who have made contributions to athletics while serving in a role other than athlete or coach. Our first inductees in the honorary Athletic Hall of Fame are Arlene and John Pope, P-O-P-P-E. Mrs. Pope began working the concession stand for football and soccer games when her children played sports for Mount Healthy High School in the late 1980s. Now, 36 years later, she's in charge of concessions for the high school football, junior high football, baseball, softball, and boys and girls soccer. In addition to taking on the Herculean tasks of concessions, she helps with selling spirit wear at open houses, orientations, conference nights, and other special events. Additionally, Mr. Pope, or Mr. Mount Healthy, as many know him, made significant contributions to Mount Healthy Athletics for over 36 years. He was the welcoming committee for game day officials and referees, greeting the officials, taking care of them at halftime, and following the games. Of course, his hospitality was also accompanied by a good story. Mr. Pope would often assist student-athletes with their fees so they could participate in sports. Both of them spent their Wednesdays for years working bingo, which used to be the main fundraiser for athletics. John and Arlene have been athletic booster members for over 30 years. While John passed away last year, it is significant to recognize his unfailing contributions to the district and athletics over the years. We have a little more here. She greatly appreciates the support of her children, her grandson Nick, who jumped in to help over the years. Mrs. Pope would like to recognize and thank Sylvia Lawson, who was the concession manager when she started. She could not do it without all of the people who helped her make concessions a success. All of the parents who have worked over the years. Kathy Fowler, Sue Bitter, Rhonda Godby, Kim Tolbert, Kim Schrant, Emily Jordan, Anna Schell, Joel Muscovin, Bob Sewer, Randy Schurman, Tina Tuck, Debbie Browning, Scott Peterson, Mr. John, and Brandy, plus all of those who have helped at the concession stand, shopping for items, and loading the supplies. The Mount Healthy City School District and Athletics extends our deep appreciation to John and Arlene Pope for all they have done for the district, athletes, and students. Congratulations to Joey Tensing, Brent Gray, and Arlene and John Pope on their induction to the Mount Healthy Athletic Hall of Fame.
And also in area news, Galen G. Gordon will run for Cincinnati City Council. Longtime Cincinnati resident, hospitality and tourism professional Galen G. Gordon recently announced that he will run for Cincinnati City Council. I'm running for Cincinnati City Council because we need proactive and intentional leadership from our city government, said Gordon. Proactive and intentional about how we attract top-tier corporations, fill storefronts through entrepreneurship, and how we incentivize families to stay and or move back within our city limits. We live in a fantastic city with plenty of opportunity. I want to ensure this feeling is shared by residents in all 52 neighborhoods. Many people may know Mr. Gordon as Black Santa during Christmas time, just one of the many ways he chooses to support the community. Gordon is actively involved with the West End Community Council, Rotary Club of Cincinnati, and Hilton's Blue Energy Committee, where he consistently thrives in community giving and outreach. Galen G. Gordon is a sales manager at the Hilton Netherland Plaza and an inductee into the Rose Awards Hall of Fame. His experience sharing the light and warmth of hospitality, even while overcoming homelessness, significantly helped form his vision for Cincinnati. For more information about his platform, visit www.galenforcincinnati.com. And another item in area news, CABVI, our sponsor here, Virtual Coffee Talk, Guide Dogs 101 for People Who Are Blind. CABVI is inviting members of our community who are blind or visually impaired to join us via Zoom for a coffee talk on Friday, February 26th, 2021, from 10 to 11 a.m. Coffee talks are a series of discussions to help people with severe vision loss learn about ways to adapt and maintain their independence. The topic for this coffee talk will be Guide Dogs 101. Participants will learn all about guide dogs as two of CABVI's orientation and mobility specialists present an overview. They will begin with the application process to those organizations that provide dog guides, all the way through the details of learning to become a guide dog traveler. Please call or email Laura to RSVP at 513-487-4521 or laura.fitter, that's F-I-T-T-E-R, at cincyblind.org by Thursday, February 25th. The Zoom link or phone number will be provided prior to the event. For more information, please call 513-221-8558 or visit www.cincyblind.org. And one more local item. Long-serving Cincinnati Bank president stepping down after 3 decades of service to Guardian Savings Bank. When owners Louis Beck and Harry Yagi purchased Guardian Savings Bank in 1992, they didn't have to think hard about appointing a president of their new bank. Rick Burkhart had a history of working with Yagi, dating back to their time together at Hunter Savings. Burkhart was the top choice, the only choice, to take the helm at Guardian. Nearly 3 decades later, Burkhart has decided it's time to pass the reins and has announced his decision to retire at the end of April 2021. The Ohio Bankers League does not keep records on tenure, but believes Burkhart is the longest bank president in Ohio. "It's been a wonderful 30 years," said Burkhart, who officially started in November 1991, just months before the transfer of ownership became official. When Yagi and Beck took ownership of Guardian in February 1992, it had 4 branches. Guardian has grown to 12 branches, including the newest in the Cincinnati neighborhood of Kennedy Heights, which opened in 2020 during the pandemic. "I'm a mortgage guy. I love helping people get a mortgage and proud of the growth we've had," said Burkhart. "When we started, we did about $93 million in assets, and now we're at $1.1 billion. Rick's contribution to the success of Guardian Savings Bank is immeasurable," said Beck. "Mortgage lending is what we do best, and Rick's experience and commitment to not only help our customers get approved for loans, but servicing those loans is what sets us apart. We are so grateful to him for everything he has done to make Guardian successful, from sharing his mortgage knowledge to spreading his positive, can-do attitude." Burkhart says it's the people that have kept him at Guardian longer than anything else about the business. "I love the people. I have 2 families, the one I come in and work with and my family at home." It's his family at home that Burkhart says he now plans to focus on. After often working 7 days a week and bringing work home, he's ready to enjoy time with his wife Terry, 3 daughters, and 6 grandchildren. "They've all worked at the bank and become part of the bank family in one way or another over the years," he said. Guardian is Greater Cincinnati's 12th largest bank. Among its branches, 2 are located in Lexington. It has $1.1 billion in assets, passing the $1 billion milestone back in March under Burkhart's leadership. Yagi and Beck also own Union Savings Bank, the 8th largest bank in Greater Cincinnati. Union started with 1 branch in Loveland in 1986 and now includes 35 locations in Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, Indiana, and Pittsburgh. Both Union and Guardian are known for low-cost, low-rate home mortgage loans, in addition to offering traditional banking services. Union and Guardian employees service the majority of the loans the banks originate. Customers enjoy the benefits of a smaller, local lender, the ability to directly communicate with a neighborhood banker, and consistent and stable leadership. A search is currently underway to identify a new president for Guardian. Rick's longevity, loyalty, and proven success will make the search challenging, said Beck. And while we could never replace Rick, we're certain that the strength of our business model and the potential for future growth will attract a lot of interest for the position.
John Gray, last living veteran of the American Revolution, buried in Ohio. On January 6, 1764, John Gray, the last living veteran of the Revolution, was born. Gray was born near Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. His father was an acquaintance of Washington's and was killed at the Battle of White Plains in New York on October 28, 1776. John reported that his first job as a boy was working for George Washington, and that Washington often greeted him in public, shook his hand, and encouraged him. This information was discovered by the Cincinnati SAR, or Sons of the American Revolution. Revolutionary War sites and Patriot Graves chairman Michael Gunn is assembling a registry of Revolutionary War patriots known to have been buried in Ohio for the Ohio Society of SAR. This database will include about 7,000 names, as Ohio was one of the states where land grants were issued to Revolutionary War patriots as payment for their services. Included in the registry are names of women, persons of color, Native Americans, and those who defected from the British to join the colonies in their revolution. John was the oldest of 8 children, and when his father was killed, the responsibility of providing for the family fell upon him. His family was very poor and often had only the rabbits John could catch as food to eat. During the end of the war, John joined the war and was present at Cornwallis's surrender at Yorktown. He was only 17 years of age and served in the army for 6 months. After the war, he married and eventually moved to the Northwest Territory, which is now in what is now Ohio, and lived in Noble County for the rest of his life. He died on March 29, 1868, at the age of 104 years, 2 months, and 23 days, surviving 3 wives and all but one of his 4 children. Gray never received a veteran's pension because his term of enlistment was too short, but about a year before his death, he was finally granted one by special act of Congress. At the time of his death, there was some controversy about exactly who was the last living veteran of the Revolution. Daniel Bakeman died in 1869, but was never able to conclusively prove he had served in the war. Parentheses. He married at 13, by the way, and his wife was only 14. George Fruits died in 1876 and was another contender, but there is now some question about whether he was mixed up with his father and actually died much earlier. John was a lifelong Methodist and a lifelong tobacco chewer. He sided with the Union during the Civil War and regretted that his home state of Virginia joined the Confederation. He died at the house of his daughter, Nancy McElroy, in 1868, and is buried in McElroy Family Cemetery at Hiramsburg, Noble County, Ohio.
Also in local news, Library Foundation adds 5 new members to the board. The Library Foundation of Cincinnati and Hamilton County has welcomed 5 new members to its board of directors, a dedicated group of volunteers who share a love for the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library and those it serves. The new Library Foundation directors are all serving 3-year terms. They are Ryan Adcock, Leanne Bismeyer, Stephanie Crockett, Christy Bryant, Coons, and Kristen Smitherman Voltaire. The foundation is pleased to welcome such a group of talented individuals, said Stacy Dennison, the Thomas W. Jones Executive Director of the Library Foundation. I'm confident their skills can help us identify opportunities and continue to promote the mission of the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library. Ryan Adcock is the founding executive director of Cradle Cincinnati Connections. Cradle Cincinnati was formed in 2013 as a collaboration between health and civic leaders working to reduce infant mortality in Hamilton County. Since launching, Cradle Cincinnati partners have reduced infant deaths by 27%. Prior to this role, Adcock spent 7 years as the Director of Legislative Affairs for Mayor Mark Mallory, where he served as the city's chief liaison to the federal government and the state of Ohio. He has a master's degree in public administration from Northern Kentucky University. Leanne Bismeyer began her career working overseas with the U.S. Department of Defense. Upon returning home, she was an investment advisor with both UBS and Fifth Third Securities. She is now focused on serving the Cincinnati community. She is an elected member of the City of Montgomery Council and serves as the chair of the Law and Safety Committee, as well as a member of the Planning and Finance Committees. Bismeyer is president of the Board of Trustees of the Montgomery Community Improvement Corporation. She is a member of the Hamilton County Municipal League and the Sycamore Schools Advisory Board. Stephanie Crockett holds a degree in architecture from the Illinois Institute of Technology and is a certified LEED professional. She works as a designer with Elevar Design Group and also maintains licenses in real estate. She commits her time advocating for equitable design and sustainability by serving on numerous boards and committees within many organizations, such as the Cincinnati Architecture Mentorship Program, Architecture Foundation of Cincinnati's Design Lab, and the Cincinnati Chapter of the American Institute of Architects. Christy Bryant-Coons developed a passion for policy advocacy while earning her degree at the University of Cincinnati College of Law. She practiced law at both a major law firm and a Fortune 500 company and continued her commitment to community service on the Avondale Community Council for a decade and was a founding member of the Avondale Development Corporation. She was president of the board of African American Chamber of Commerce and appointed to City of Cincinnati Planning Commission. She is currently a member of the Diversity Advisory Board for the Cincinnati Reds and board member of the Ohio Poverty Law Center, OLBC Foundation, and the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati. Also, Coons served in the 131st Ohio General Assembly of the Ohio House of Representatives. She is the Vice President of Community Relations at UC Health. Kristen Smitherman Voltaire is the Community and Citizenship Manager at Turner Construction, where she oversees community outreach and economic inclusion efforts. She also co-founded and co-leads Turner's Ohio Inclusion Action Team, the first regional model at Turner to enact an anti-racism strategy. She earned a dual bachelor's degree in Spanish and International Studies from the University of Michigan and a Master of Science in Executive Leadership and Organizational Change from Northern Kentucky University. Smitherman Voltaire is a certified project manager and graduate of the YWCA Rising Stars Leadership Program. For information about what's happening at the library, call 513-369-6900 or visit cincinnatilibrary.org.
Special Olympics Ohio kicks off 2021 Polar Plunge. It's time to take the plunge. Only this year, Special Olympics Ohio is seeking supporters across the state to plunge their way in support of the organization and hundreds of Special Olympics athletes throughout Ohio. Traditionally, participants sign up for one of 8 polar plunges across the state and plunge together with hundreds of new friends in an icy body of water. This year, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, supporters will be freezing for a reason at home. Anyone could take the plunge their way by jumping in an ice bath, diving into the snow, or using their creativity to freeze in support of the Special Olympics in Ohio. Registration for the 2021 Special Olympics Ohio Polar Plunge Your Way is now open at sooh.org. Quote, "This past year has presented us all with unique challenges, but the Special Olympics Ohio athletes and community continue to push forward, and the first virtual polar plunge is shaping up to be a tremendous success," says SOOH CEO Jessica Stewart. Quote, "We're encouraging people to get creative, have fun with their plunge, and encourage as many people as possible to participate in this annual event that raises critical funds for our programs and our athletes." 2021 marks the 15th anniversary of the annual Polar Plunge event. Participants must raise or donate $100 to take part in the plunge, but setting a fundraising goal is encouraged to raise additional funds for the athletes. There is also a number of incentives based on how much a participant raises, including for $250, a 2021 Polar Plunge t-shirt and a Special Olympics Ohio fleece blanket. For $500, a 2021 Polar Plunge t-shirt, Special Olympics crew neck sweatshirt, and for $1,000, a Polar Plunge t-shirt and a Special Olympics Ohio backpack. And there's more. Join the fun in taking the plunge from anywhere during the month of February. Create your own team or sign up today at sooh.org and be a part of this specially distanced, safe, and fun event while also supporting a great cause. Share on social media and hashtag at mypolarplunge2021. Kathy.
And Oak Hills student wins Scholastic Art Awards recognition. Oak Hills Local School's long tradition of excellence in fine arts continues with 27 Oak Hills High School students winning recognition in the National Scholastic Art and Writing Awards. The Oak Hills students' work was chosen from more than 350,000 entries across the country. The submissions are judged by nationally known figures in the visual and literary arts who look for works that best exemplify originality, technical skill, and the emergence of personal voice or vision. 9 OHHS students winning Gold Key Awards were Rachel Blevins, Samantha Bradley, Caden Cadle, Grace Gilardi, Henry Groh, Gabrielle Hancock, Maria Hernandez, Virginia Ralph, and Mia Schorch. Their work will move on to national competitions. Well, that's all we have time for this morning. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Enjoy your day.